welcome to my show. Yo, it is crazy. It is crazy. It is crazy. I'm not going to do my normal opening. I'm just going to walk through this real quick and apologize that we jumped in late tonight. As you know, Tuesday is my musician spotlight, and we pretty much focus and showcase, you know, the local talent. Tonight is no different. My special guest tonight is riding high on his new EP, which is a killer, getting rave reviews, doing very, very well, and who knows if, you know, the Big G might be in place. Pat Williams, what's happening, buddy?
Yo, 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 what's going on, Ezra? How you doing, man?
Man, let me start by apologizing for being late. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you sound great.
Okay, cool. Man, look, you know, I spent time with my son. He's been in the hospital for a while. And I'm like, got to go, see you later, got to do this show tonight. And, you know, kiss them bye. I'm on my way, dude. And
man, it's all
something
good.
Something just hit me and was like, I don't have a phone. Okay.
What?
Left the phone in his bed. Okay. Left the phone in his bed when I leaned over to kiss him. Now I'm like, man, I got a show. I don't have my phone. How am I going to pull this out? I got to go back and then go through security and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, man. That was the delay, man. I deeply apologize. Because, you know, they say stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. And, you know, thank God I always carry my backpack with me. So I had my tablet, but it's not a phone. So I already had one studio set up in my tablet, and I was able to get into the studio. And I'm like, if I can get this phone, I can be back in a short time. So I got it, and normally I use my, you know, my console, but I got the tablet, got the studio popped up, bam, and we on live.
Well, there you go. Yeah, everything worked out the way it's supposed to.
That's good, man. And you know, my mind just been all over the place after my big birthday jam last night. Like, you know, you I took offense to that, bro, but I was so sleepy. I'm like, he don't call me an old man, really. You know, don't call me an old man. We gonna see after you get this Grammy and start doing multiple dates and you on Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel Live and you doing all this and you eating on your jet and Denny's and all and room service. We'll see how slim and chin you be. You know, call me
man. All I was saying is you're just a little more mature than some of us, and that's all it is. That's all it is, too, man. It was a respect.
Can y'all see how Pat just eased? He just eased out of that one. Yeah, yeah. So just call me. Yeah, call me Chris Coker. He slid out through that one. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Okay. How you been, man?
But, yeah, I've been great, man. I was going to tell you, thank you, man. I appreciate you, for one, you know, supporting music. You know, you are a musician as well. But supporting the artists, man, definitely pushing local cats and ladies and men, you know. So I just really appreciate what you're doing, man, for sure.
Man, I'm not an active musician. I found that out last night. I played for the first time since, you know, I had my incident back in 2019. And I give all you guys credit that played three sets, you know.
Yes.
that one set was putting a hurting on me, you know. But,
man,
I kind of traded careers and focused more on doing stand-up. Been playing, but man, when I got opportunity to start coming out here in live bands, man, and you and several other cats, man. I look at y'all, and, you know, I have to support, man, because I appreciate the music, you know, and I appreciate the sacrifice that, you know, musicians make. People don't realize that a lot goes into not just being in a band or having a band, the dedication, the practice, the sacrifice, you know, that's a lot. You know, you that own 22 drum kits, you know, and practice on all of them. I mean, that's time and dedication, man, and it shows in your work. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, all right, well, we'll start. My name is Pat Williams. I'm born and raised in the Houston area. I'm a product of a trumpet player. My father was Pat Williams Sr. right here out of Houston. He traveled with B.B. King, Temptations, played in the Apollo Stage Band in New York. He traveled all over the world. My mother, Rita Benson, here in Houston area, is a vocalist and singer. So I was blessed to be able to get a little bit of all the music and the singing, jazz, R&B, soul, gospel, all in one house. So, and I'm a drummer, you know, I'm a drummer, and I do a little bit of singing here. But we're talking now. I just put out my first project, full EP, called Inclusive Volume 1. And man, it's just been doing pretty well. Man, I've been blessed to get a great response from it. So I'm just looking forward to seeing what happens from this point on.
Man, and you getting some buzz out there. You getting some buzz out there. Matter of fact, you know, we was listening to, you know, some strong compliments last night at my gig about, you know, how great it is. I got a chance. Actually, I was talking to Kyle right before y'all started talking on the air yesterday. And, yeah, the buzz is out there, man. You really put out a good product. And you'll see. Talk to us about, well, before we get on the new one, this is not the first, you know, time you put out something. So, Give us
yeah.
a background on the other work too.
Well, yeah. The first song I put out, man, and it was a while back. I put out the song called Around Seven-ish, and really, I did it, to be honest, in a matter of just trying to go through the process of putting out my own stuff and see what it takes to do it, you know, going through the distribution and, you know, the graphics and the photographs and, you know, recording the music and the production and the writing and, you know, all that stuff. I did all that stuff on my own. And just to kind of see what it takes to do it. I didn't really put it out just to get any response from it, so to speak. You know, I just really wanted to just to kind of start the process of doing it. And then I got some great feedback from that tune. And then a couple years later, I went, and I think that was 13, I think, when I put that out. Fast forward, I was called to do, I started working on some new music, and I was called to do a tour, a short European tour with Bob James. And I had already started working on some new music to put out. And during that call or getting prepared for that tour, I was finishing up a single. So when I got back, I was able to release that. I think that was 2018. That was Easy Day at Work, which features Bobby Lyle on piano, Jordan Donald on saxophone, who's kind of all over my album now. But that song, it really, I would say, put me on the map, but it really has gotten some great acclaim, especially overseas. But that's that kind of, from putting that song out, that really I really pushed myself to go ahead and complete a full album, so to speak. So From that point on, I really just been kind of slowly but surely putting together this project. And I'm calling it Volume 1 because there's already a Volume 2 in the works. So, you know, I just said, well, you know, I ain't going to stop here. So we're going to keep going. And, you know, I really started writing the song, you know, throughout the course of these years, slowly but surely, and then working with, you know, putting the right people together and to get this project done, man. It was a labor of love. And so pandemic last year really helped me to finalize and really push towards getting this stuff done because I didn't have a whole lot of other stuff to do. So that's how it came about.
So you mentioned that you are the son of Pat Williams, trumpet player. And I've heard so many stories about your dad. You know, it's crazy because Al Campbell, I don't know why, but he raised everybody. You know, right. I raised that boy there. So I met him when I was probably about 14 years old. But
wow.
He always tell stories about your dad and how great he was and James Williams. You know, everybody, you know, they speak highly of him, everything. So as his son, and this is something I kind of asked Will Thomas about, being that your dad is a great trumpet player, what made you go to the drums?
Man, it's funny because I get that question and I think about it, and there's nothing really, I don't remember or recall ever wanting to do anything else other than drums. So, and like you mentioned, James, you know, my cousin, you know, James Williams, they're all three of the Jameses, which are all my cousins. They all play trumpet. Yeah. You know, that's James Senior, rest in peace. And then you got James, Big James, who was, you know, over the Conrad Johnson Band currently, orchestra, I should say. And then, James the Third, you know, that's all family. So, I think there's a total of 6 trumpet players. So I never wanted to play. I mean, I never had an interest in the trumpet. I never picked it up. I never tried to blow through the mouthpiece. I just, as long as I can remember, 3, 4 years old, I was beating on stuff. And then I started taking lessons around 5 and, 6, around 6, 7 years old, I sat in at the International Festival with the Fifth Ward Express back, you know. So I just never really wanted to play anything else but drums, man. You know, I think it was just my calling, so to speak.
And here's the thing, because I'm a drummer, so I'm having a good time talking to a drummer. And like you said, so true drummer really is not interested in anything else but drums as a kid, you know. And like me, I started beating on blueberry ice cream cartons until you just bust them open, you know, in a lunch kit with the cardboard out the clothes hangers, you know. And until, you know, you could convince your mom to buy you some drums. And then you said this yesterday when I heard the interview. I went to Hartman Junior High School, and this kid had a Pearl snare drum, and I was like, I need a snare drum too. You know, I need my own snare drum. This kid got his own drum, so I'm hounding my mom about it, and she kind of heard me playing a little bit. You know, I used to play to the soundtrack of The Wiz, and
I got in
the band in junior high. I, you know, started learning how to do, single strokes and double strokes. And she went on and took me to get a drum set. And we went to Grant LeBlanc Music World right there, MLK.
Wow. That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
And Lester Grant and Stank, man, they talked to him and go and get the drum for him, man. We worked a deal out, so she got the snare drum. And then I ended up joining like a little drum corps that we just basically did cadences behind cheerleaders. And I'm like, marching drum. And we go up there and ran and stank. No, take it, put it around your waist and tie it up. Now I'm in a parade with a regular snare drum. And,
wow.
And from
wow.
On,
they was going to make sure you played. They was going to make sure you did it. And did it right.
Yeah, they was
right,
going to make
right.
sure you money about the drum. And that's
right.
how it came. You know, as you grow older, then you get interested in other instruments, you know, but nothing is like as a kid and you want to play and then you get opportunity to play. And then you get behind a kit and realize it ain't as easy as it looks. I got two hands.
Right.
But so many people think what drummers do is so easy. Explain to people right now that there is a technique behind this, and it's also a gift.
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can actually just go through a book and study, and you know, you can learn to be the most knowledgeable when it comes to certain things. But when it comes to being a musician, and especially since we're talking about drums, you have to innately, it's got to be that rhythm. You got to feel it. It's got to be the feel. It's got to be innate. You know, it's not something that you can just sit down and be like, yeah, okay, well, I just watch somebody, you know, watch so-and-so play drums. I can watch Pat or whoever sit down. I can play what they played. It doesn't work that way, you know. You can learn. You can sit in and learn it, but the feeling is going to be totally different. And that's one of the things I talk to when I do talk to younger musicians or other musicians or drummers coming up. You know, don't sit down and watch YouTube all day and trying to learn everybody's how they play the song or solos or their chops, so, you know, the technical term of how they played, you know, these songs. You've got to take that, learn the record, and you've got to make it your own, because each individual person is going to feel that music a different way. So, you know, sitting down playing drums is definitely not easy. Because my wife laughs at me all the time. She said, I don't know how you do. You got left foot doing one thing, right foot doing one thing. Left hand and right hand, they all doing something different. And you keeping the beat, and then, you know, I had a nerve to try to sing sometimes in the middle of all of that, too. So, because I don't know how you do it, and I ain't going to try. So, you know, it's definitely not the easiest thing. You really just have to have the heart for it, and you got to feel that rhythm.
Now, did you do the church thing as a kid, playing drums?
I did. And honestly, man, I didn't really start playing in church, because now, you know, you hear a lot of kids, you know, they say they started playing, you know, right away. I didn't really start playing in church until my early teens. So, you know, almost for church folks, that's almost late. You know, you hear folks talking about they started playing as soon as they could sit up on, they could barely reach the foot pedal, you know. I didn't start playing until, I guess, around 12, 13 in church. But I had been playing, like I said, just drum set, and then playing in a band at school. And I, you know, once I got to high school, I was in marching band. I played in orchestra band. Went to Prairie View from high school and marched in the Prairie View Marching Storm.
See, you just messed up. Great story, buddy. I went to Prairie View.
Now the signal's breaking up. Now I just... It's PBU, man.
He gonna say Prairie View. I mean, you know,
got it, man. Listen,
the name of that school is PV. It's PV.
Check.
And the reason
check
the school is called PV, the reason the school
don't
is called
you do
PV,
it. Don't you do it.
Is because we just didn't want to waste time saying two words at that time back then. So
is that what you
know? When we get ready for a show, they're like, we got PV. Who is PV? Just say PV, dog. It'll be easy for you.
you can say what you want. I'm gonna put this out there and I'm gonna leave it. Go check Go check the stats right now today. They just put out a poll that the best marching band in HBCUs right now is Prairie View A&M University. So, and on that note, so as I was saying,
they bribing folk with all money or something, man. No.
Come on, Ezra. We were doing so well, man. All you have to do is just let it go.
I'm an honorary PV Panther. I just saw the band from, you know, the time my older brother was there in 1978. You know, and they just look like soldiers, man. The uniform was old and dusty. But I've seen them evolve.
Well, I mean, of course, in 1978.
It was wild, man. So me being in the band, it was like PV. That's what you call them, PV, not Prairie View. But the Marching Storm, I've had a chance to watch them several times. So, and it's HBCU, so I'm a chill and just say, yeah, shout out to PV. But there's no
other band. We appreciate it.
Marching Tigers. But I threw that out there. I'm gonna back off. I had to tie that last night. Tried to crack on my shirt, but that's all right. You know?
Yeah, I won't even mention that name. So we just keep on going.
So
but yeah, man.
Is,
so, you know, like,
another thing,
that,
like you said,
yeah,
playing in the church, and another thing you mentioned about making it your own. And I started in church at an early age too, but I learned very quickly by getting in a blues band and playing nationally when I was 15. That's something that can really hinder you in the long run if you don't make a career out of playing, because you kind of get pigeonholed in your style. If you, you know, as a church musician, especially back in the day, things are a little bit different now. So when you mention quit looking at YouTube, quit trying to be this person, whatever, you can learn from everybody. But like you said, if it's in you and you had a gift and a talent, you can evolve into your own. Who were your influences as drummers growing up?
Oh man, I honestly could go forever and ever.
Three different musicians.
Okay, top three: Dennis Chambers, Dave Weckl, and let's see. I'm trying to name three in different veins, but I'll even go with Calvin Rogers, who is known more so with the gospel stuff. But if you just hear him play, he can play any and everything. But growing up, I listened to a lot of the drummers here in Houston, man, first, you know. So, you know, Richard Waters was here. I grew up under them, like you said, Lester Grant, you know. A lot of drummers here in Houston I was listening to, you know, Bubba Thomas. So, you know, it's just but then when I really started kind of digging into listening to a variety of music, you know, I listened to a lot of Weckl stuff. I was listening to Weather Report back with Alex Acuna, you know, Earth, Wind & Fire. I was listening, you know, learning all the music for that from them, you know, Michael Jackson stuff with John Robinson, Sonny Emery. I mean, so I listen to everything and a lot of different drummers. So, you know, and I just kind of took what I could from them and made who I, you know, kind of incorporated that stuff into who I am or how I play right now. You there?
That's Man, you really put out, you know, some.
Uh-oh, I think I lost you.
Ezra, you there? You gone? Hello, hello. I think we lost reception. Hello, hello.
Okay. Let's see.
Hey, hello.
Pat, can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, yeah, I was listening to you when I tried to answer. I don't know what happened, but I guess just the makeshift, it came up and bit me. But I got you back. So we were naming the top three drummers. So you said Dennis Chambers, Dave Weckl, and Calvin Rogers.
Calvin Rogers, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome drummers. I'm gonna give you my top three right quick. I would say, yeah, I studied Dave Weckl back to basics. But I would go with Steve Gadd, and I would go with, and this is because of my band teaching high school, Max Roach, and then I would go with somebody that just blew me away as a teenager when I got a chance to watch him play, and that's Sonny Emery.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Those are my top three.
Not a bad list there.
Yeah, but it shows that it's so many great, great drummers out there, you know. So many pioneers, you know, that have paved the way. And it's crazy because the first time I saw Sonny Emery, he was playing Earth, Wind, and Fire, and this was about 86, 87. And I didn't realize until later that he was the drummer on the B-52's Love Shack.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he just hit me too. I didn't know either.
That's him playing on Love Shack. So that goes back to Pat Williams, you know, being able to get that phone call. Hey, Pat,
mm-hmm.
I need you. Because I've seen playing with several people. You know, I've seen the Bob James, Chris, all that stuff. To get that phone call, Pat, I need a drummer. You know, and it don't even go like that. It'd be like, Pat, you busy? You know, what do you do to make that phone ring?
Man, I'm going to tell you, I think now, I think it's more so of my reputation as a drummer and a musician. Nowadays, I just listen, wait for the phone to ring. You know what I'm saying? But I think one of the things that's gotten me to this point is to your point is being able to be versatile and then listening to and learning how to play all different types of music. So, like you're talking about Sonny, you know, was playing with Earth, Wind, and Fire, and then he also was locked in on the Love Shack. Because I, you know, when I listened to that, that was that locked in drive is killing. Being able to kind of be a sponge to a variety of music. And drummers, since we're talking about, you know, some drummers, that just kind of helped me be one of the guys they call for any type of stuff. So, you know, I can sit down and they mix in some straight ahead or some swing stuff in a set. I can play it, you know, without having I'm not hesitant about it. I'm not nervous about it. Or, you know, because I listen to, you know, Tony Williams on the Miles Davis stuff, you know, Art Blakey and, you know, Max Roach, and, you know, I was hearing that stuff as well. And then the fusion stuff, you know, with Weckl and Chick Corea and all that stuff. And then, you know, the funk R&B stuff, you know, listen to that too. So I just kind of took it all in and said, all right, well, I don't want to be missed. I don't want nobody to call me and I have to turn it down or be nervous because I can't play the music. So I listen to and practice to everything.
Yeah, and like I said earlier about being pigeonholed, that's a good thing to be, you know, versatile and willing to listen. Because you got some guys, you know, when I first came back on the music scene, just hanging out back in 2013, yeah, I go to some of these jams they have, blues jams, because pretty much that was it, other than the deal with over at 4212 and all that stuff. So it's like, I've heard guys, man, I only come here just because I get a chance to play. I want to play funk. I want this, that. And, you know, you're like, okay, well, your phone ain't going to ring. You know.
Right.
Yeah, and I learned that early, man. I got a gig, and this was crazy. I don't call it no names, man, but, you know, being in college, whatever, and then when I came over to TSU, you know, they had a Baptist student choir, and one of my cousins was like, he looking for a drummer, he need to come, you know, and I'm like, I don't want to do that, I don't even want to really be at this school, so I don't play in no gospel group, and when I got there, they had a drummer, and, you know, pretty much he did it all, you know, a new cat wasn't going to get no action. And when I did, everybody was like, you don't play like him, you know, which didn't last long because I got a phone call. And the guy was like, where you from? I'm from Houston. No, you ain't. I'm saying, you don't be on the ride somewhere like in Houston. And I'm like, how y'all going to pigeonhole us, you know? So because of how I started early listening to this group, this drummer, that drummer, you know, you learn something different. And like you said, perfecting it over the years to where now you just wait on the call. But you showed early that Pat can do this. Now, what made Pat decide to say, I'm more than a drummer? And I'm going to tell you about this because I'm going to pay you two compliments real quick. Sunday night, I was talking to Mark Guinea. And first thing he said when your name popped up, because I said, I got Pat coming on my show Tuesday. Have you heard his new project? Man, Pat is awesome. And then he went on to tell a story about the drum groove and, you know, man, he's got this. And I'm like, yeah, I already know. I watch him. I watch him. I know. But then he turns around and tells me, hey, you want to sit in on the song? No, I'm cooking out here. No, this is my domain. I ain't in there with y'all. And he called me up, man, and I had to do a tune with him, which ended up being about three or four tunes. And I'm like, man, I'm scared, dude. You know, and I'm older and seasoned, but I don't gig anymore like that. And, you
right.
know, Keith Bill, Austin Bill, Brennan, they all up there, and I'm like, man, and Mark, and I'm like, man, and he's like, dude, the one thing that I noticed, you know, him and Austin and Brent, dude, you got a pocket, man, that just, you know, like, that comes from years ago, learning the discipline.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's, even though I'm a drummer, and in the church they get a drummer some, or, you know, if you playing with a band is, you know, not, you know, the foundation ain't there as far as how we groove the drummer, you know, bam, bam, he's that guy. So I was given that name by Nelly Cole back in the day. And it's like you learn that you're just an intricate part of a group.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
And what you do makes the group. You are the backbone. You know, and that's
absolutely
the difference between how we came up and younger drummers today.
Well, it's funny because I was talking to someone about being in a band, the difference in being in a band and playing music, and what's the gratification. You know, what makes you more feel great or feel good when it comes to playing music? Is it the overall, just the music itself? Is it the experience? Is it whatever? And it was a great question because it made me think about, I'm like, you know, for me, especially as a drummer and a band leader, I think what really makes a difference is when the whole band sounds good together. When we're playing and everybody's vibing together and the music is grooving and the audience is taking it in, that's when I feel the best. You know, I don't really care. You know, I could have the best drum solo. It could take me to, oh, yeah, man, you did this and did that on drums. But, you know, man, but that, you know, that the band, the music y'all played, I didn't like it. And at that point, my solo didn't really matter because, you know, if the people that were there didn't feel good, if everybody on stage didn't feel good, you know, the people that were taking us in or taking in the show are not going to feel good either. So, you know, and that's one of the things, the difference now, we're the social media, we're in the social media generation to where it's look at me, look at what I can do, that type of vibe. And I'm still, I guess we old school now because I would much rather sit back and lock in the groove or whatever is called for in the music. I'm in the studio. I just knocked my cymbal over. So,
right.
Whatever's called for.
I'm in the building a drummer that goes in.
Yeah, right. I'm up here in my studio. But the biggest thing for me is just telling people, you know, make sure the music feels good. That's the most important. And that's one of the things I did on my EP was I wanted to make sure, even though I'm a drummer, I didn't want it to sound like it was a drummer's record. You know, most people don't know what to expect when they say, okay, it's a drummer, so it's going to be a whole bunch of solos and this drums, this, that, and the other. No, I wanted to make music that felt good for a person who wasn't a musician or for the musicians. You know, I wanted everybody to be able to take it in, which is, you know, another reason why I named it Inclusive. You know, Inclusive for me for the album was to say, okay, I want everybody that listens to it to feel like their type of music or something that they like will be included on this record. So, you know, I got some R&B, you know, I got some contemporary jazz, some smooth jazz, some fusion. I got a little bit of everything on there. You know, and that's just kind of a testament to the type of music I like, and I wanted to make sure everybody kind of got a little bit of that too.
Man, it's an awesome project. One of the things I admired the most about you, after I started getting a chance to watch you work, you always thought outside the box and wanted to do something that I used to see a lot of in Vegas, and you were doing some tributes, man. I think the first one I saw you do was the Urban Fire tribute. And then, of course, the Anita Baker tribute. And that's a lot of work. You know,
oh, yeah.
Putting those projects together.
Yeah, I ain't done one
since. Yeah, dude, you should. Because putting the right pieces to the puzzle. I had never met Cookie before. Like I said, I've been off the scene for years and years, decades almost. And, you know, when you brought her in, and I'm like, she must don't know I'm Anita Baker ex-husband, so don't mess up none of her business. You know?
Right.
She did it. The boys is mine, man. We just don't, you know, we keep that out the, you know, out the tabloids and everything. But I was
right. Yeah, you did.
Walter just took credit for everything. So now she combed my hair. I take it back. Now I'm just playing. But it's like you put the right people together to make that project, and then the Earth, Wind, and Fire, all that. You know, the Prince tribute. I mean, you put in work. That's something that also makes Pat stand out different, you know, from just other drummers. You're constantly thinking of a way to do something, you know, different. And where does that come from?
Like I said, I mean, it comes from growing up in an era where I listened to everything. You know, I was in the household that early on that at any given time I could be listening. We'd be listening to Miles Davis all the way up to Lakeside. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got to.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big jump in between. You know, so I can attest to hearing, you know, some of the best music during those eras, and making sure that if we try to do it again or try to recreate it, that you be genuine to it. That's to me, that's the most important thing. You know, there's, you know, even though you do a tribute, a lot of people do tributes to artists or whatever, but if you don't really intend on being genuine with the music, and what I mean by being genuine is making sure that music sounds as close to the original as possible when it comes down to the singer, all the way down to the parts in the song, you know, that's important because that's what people remember. You know, when you hear, you know, Sweet Love, you know, there's some bells and there's some strings. So, you know, there's all kinds of different things that's happening. And you got to make sure you do your best to accommodate, to make sure that music comes out like that. So I just, you know, I wanted to just to make sure that I really paid tribute to the artists and the writers and the musicians that created that music. And like you said, it's a lot of work, of course, but the end result is, you know, everybody feels good, you know, and the audience is rocking and grooving like, you know, like they were there at the original person's concert, you know. So, but like I said, the Earth, Wind, and Fire thing, I can say, you know, that was a collaborative effort, you know, with Sean Sounds. Sean and I, you know, I did the band, put the band together. He kind of did more so of picking out the vocalists. But even in that, making sure I had the right musicians that could respect the music, you know, and it's the same guys I would use for my band, you know, just making sure even we were doing cover music, I wanted to make sure that these cats were able to play that music the way it was written, you know. So, but yeah, man, that's just all about it.
My goddaughter actually sang on that project too, and Chelsea, yeah. And
oh yeah.
I was like, yeah, man, I'm like my baby singing on this project, and then I had a cousin, Ro, she was singing on it. And I'm like, man, you know, this was awesome. But, you know, I'm gonna get a thumbs up. You know, you won with Anita Baker. Just, I told you, we got history. That was a killer show. Which brings me to say that Pat Williams has played with some serious legends throughout his young career since I'm seasoned. he played with some legends. How did it feel to play with the legendary Bob James and to play, you know, tunes like Angie? What did that feel?
Man, I'm going to tell you, the way it happened for me was probably more, I don't want to say crazy, it was crazy because we did the HSPVA Doc Fest, which was how I ended up playing with Bob the first time, which was here in Houston. So Chris Walker called me and asked me, you know, say, hey, bringing Bob in, you know, you're available to do this gig. I'm like, absolutely, you know. So we, you know, it was me, Chris Walker on bass, John Calderon on guitar, and so, you know, of course, and Bob, I mean, that was the first time I felt like, you know, this is going to be, you know, I felt pressure, but it was a different type of vibe, you know, with that call. So I had to make sure I was on it when we came in rehearsal, you know, we had one rehearsal scheduled with him, and Man, we played, I think, through the first song and a half, and by, when Bob stopped and said, man, so we don't have to play anything else. You know, he was being funny, but for me, at that point, I was a lot more relaxed. I'm like, okay, well, he's cool, and I did my homework, so I'm feeling good about what's going to happen next, you know. Man, we literally rehearsed all of his music. We recorded it in the studio when we rehearsed it, and he was grooving, and, you know, it was a whole thing. And so we did the show here, and then that was it. You know, I hadn't talked to anybody or hadn't heard anything, and then I get a call or an email from his manager a couple months later and say, hey, you know, I heard you did a great job with Bob. You know, can you send me some clips or whatever of what y'all, if you have any audio or video clips of the show? And I was like, yeah, sure, you know. So I found a couple clips and sent them to him, and I didn't hear nothing else for a little while, for a few days. And then next thing I know, I get a call and say, hey, you know, Bob's got to do a European tour next year. It was going to be in May, but I think we were talking like around November, December. So he said, doing a European tour, I want to know if you would like to go. And I'm like, yeah. You know, once again, what kind of question is this? What you mean? Do I want to go? You know,
we can go right now.
Right. Yeah. we can go. I'm ready to go right now. You know, so let's do this. So, and, you know, and what's funny is I didn't even make an announcement about it until I got the flight itinerary, which was like 2-3 months later, you know, because I didn't want it to.
Yeah.
It's one of the things, you know, you don't want to jinx it, so to speak, you know, and I was like, okay, I got this call, got this music, I'm learning the music, this is really going to happen, but let me get this flight information first before I say something. And, I learned the music, man, and I'm going to tell you, it was an amazing experience, and the funny part about it is we never rehearsed because we did a trio gig, and we didn't actually rehearse with the group until we got to the first show. So I had to learn all the music and, you know, be prepared. So when we got to the first venue, which was, you know, soundcheck, is when we actually played for the first time together because his bass player didn't come to Houston. So, you know, and it was promoting his new upcoming trio album, which hadn't even, you know, come out yet. So it's not like I could learn or had him listen to a whole bunch of different people play his stuff. You know, we played some of the originals, you know, cover stuff, you know, Angela, a couple of the most popular songs he had, but we did a lot of the new stuff. So I had to know it once we got there. So that was a challenge in itself too. But, you know, I figured, hey, if they call me and trust me to do it, then that's what I'm going to do, you know. So,
you did it well, too.
Man, it definitely was one of my greatest experiences, of course.
And you also mentioned another legend who worked on Inclusive, you know, Bobby Lyle, who I first encountered was as a, you know, young adult. I was probably 17, something like that, and I got a chance to see Al perform, you know, for the first time live, and didn't even think about who this dude was with all the hair on his head or whatever. Then saw him again in 86. He was Anita Baker's MD, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then I finally got a chance to meet him and talk to him at Rockefeller's, like, in, like, 89. You know?
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
Yeah, this dude, man, well, you already know because you work with him and he's on your projects, but he's just a beast.
And that was another one. That was another one of those. I got called, you know, to play the gig he was doing here in Houston. You know, this was back with the Red Cat. You know, the first time I played with him was at the original Red Cat downtown. And you know, I hadn't met him prior to that, at all. I hadn't talked to him or nothing. And shoot, that was maybe 12 years ago. And, I mean, ever since then, you know, we've been working together. You know, I recorded on this Oregon Trio album. I played drums on it, you know. On his new album just released, I played drums on, you know, one tune. But look, on the new album, he got Vinnie Caliuta, he got Sonny Emery, he got Mark Simmons, he got me, Jay Williams from D.C., who was, you know, plays with everybody. You know, he's currently playing with Chaka Khan and, you know, Gerald Albright, everybody. But he got all these, look, and I'm talking about he got all these top-notch drummers, and I'm like, man, and little old me, you know, on the record. But, you know, he's always trusted me to play his music the way he wanted. So, you know, I don't take it lightly, you know. So he's been a great mentor to me when it comes to my music and my playing, too.
He said little old me. Doc, you right up there with them, man. You know, so, and it's all about, you know, variations, man. You know, don't, you know, you can say I've earned the right to be here because the practice, the work, all that you do, you know, you do it for those opportunities. Like you said, my phone rings. Your phone rings for a reason. You know, now let's get on Inclusive real quick. What was the inspiration for Inclusive? And the title?
Inclusive, as the title, like I said, when I first started really getting serious about writing music for this, I really, really wanted it to be a record for everybody. And and initially, it wasn't going to be an EP. And the EP is, you know, they call it is extended play. It's basically a shortened, like a half album, you know, a half of an LP. So that's why it's only six songs on there. But I actually had enough for a full album already done. But I wanted to just put this out initially just to kind of get the buzz going. And, you know, it's more of a marketing thing. But when I got, you know, I have a nice variety, I call it, of music and styles, and that's where the Inclusive title came from, because I wanted it to, like I said earlier, just kind of touch any and everybody that listens to it. You know, I didn't want to alienate anybody. You know, some people don't like, you know, fusion, you know, like what time is it? You know, some people don't like, you know, they want to hear some R&B. So, you know, I got, you know, Any Day on there with Ashley J. You know, some people want to hear some smooth ride music. So I got Slow Rolling. So Inclusive was just including everybody pretty much. So that's what we did.
it's a hit. Job well done. What's your favorite tune, though?
Oh, man. Everybody got a favorite. I'm going to be honest with you. Because it's my album and I've been listening to this music for the longest, it kind of switches. Because I've been hearing it so much, man. Houston Heat was my favorite for a minute. Freshen Up was in my favorite for the longest. Any Day. I mean, I honestly, I don't have like one favorite on this particular joint. I'm being real honest because it's hard for me to sit down and be like, yeah, this is the one I want to hear all day. I can go to any one, and that's really what I want everybody else to be able to do too. You know, if you listen to the whole album, it's going to be one song that's going to be your favorite for a little while until the next one becomes your favorite. So that was the goal.
Exactly. And that's the thing with Kyle, man, is he really thinks that my favorite tune on his live CD is Rap Tight.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, And that's only because they're just, you know, as a musician, and you can attest to this, the more you listen to certain songs, you find out things, or you hear something different in there. You know, listen to that part, this, you know, and I love the original version, but the live version, you know, everybody might be thinking, oh, man, out there every day on that flute, you know, that's a different aspect of the song as opposed to the original.
Right.
That's not it for me. That's not it for me. It's actually the change up in there and how it comes back into that drive, you know, and I'm like, Mason Knight's artist. I'm like, dude, I love all of them, man. But, yeah, that one sticks out. And I ask you that because I want you to just give, since you gave out this list of great drummers on Bobby's project, Pat Williams ain't got no slouches on his project. So who was so inclusive? Come on, man. You ain't got, you know, you threw that out there, but you ain't go down to the bus station again. Can you play? Come on. You know?
Nah, I couldn't
do
that.
You got some hitters on your project, bro.
Man, I couldn't do that. But, you know, and that was another thing I wanted to also show that because 95% of the musicians on my whole project are all from Houston or in a Houston or been here for an extended period of time. You know, every musician on here is a Houston guy or a lady, I should say. I had a Glenn Piper actually helped me write the first single, Freshen Up. So, you know, Glenn actually, and it's funny you say Rap Tight, because Glenn is actually the one that wrote Rap Tight. So me and Glenn co-wrote Freshen Up, and I got Josh Dunham on bass, who played with Prince, and, you know, I got Jeremiah McConico, who's playing guitar. He's here. Who else was on there? The horns, you know, James Williams, my cousin, playing trumpet, Matt Hartnett. Man, I'm trying to remember everybody that's on these records. Let's see, what's the next tune? Houston Heat, you know, Pat Tribbett's playing bass, and Pat actually not just played bass on a couple of these songs, but he mixed the majority of the album too. So, super talented Terrence Vaughn actually helped me write What Time Is It. James Burt helped me write Houston Heat. He played with Warren Hill and a whole bunch of other folks. Who else? What's the other tune? Slow Rolling. Roshan Langham, who's currently in L.A. right now. He helped me write that tune. I got Ben Tankard featuring on that, Kerry Wilkins on guitar, Kyle Turner featuring on that one as well. Everett Harp is on Houston Heat, you know, another Houston native. I called in a bunch of favors. I just put it like that. Everybody came in and did their parts. And The real crazy part about it is the majority of the album, none of us recorded any of that stuff at the same time either. So everybody, for the most part, recorded their parts in their own home studios, and we put it all together and made it sound like, you know, we were all sitting in the same room. So, I call it a favor.
Technology, you know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'll be like, hey, Pat, I'm doing something, man. I'm in the studio. It's like, hey, man, but it's worth it now, you know. Now, I would tell you something about that. Have you ever been, you can't say challenged like tap dances and all this, but have you ever been toasted? What I say about toasting is you working a gig or whatever, and there's another band or whatever, whether they open or whatever, or close, and this drummer just sit down. He don't come at you. He just play. He care less about you. He just play. And you like, man, either I'm going to get rid of that kid, or I'm going to lock up, and I'm going to package. What I just saw cannot happen to me no more in public. Have you ever had that moment?
Man, yeah. Yeah, I've had it a couple times. But you know what? It's funny because I love great musicians, man, and I have utmost respect for all drummers and everybody that plays the instrument. I got the utmost respect for them, first and foremost. But I'll tell you, there's a young cat named Greg Clark Jr., and he's a left-handed drummer. And I was sharing that we did a show together. Well, I was doing a show with my band and with Danny Weatherspoon, who is currently playing keys with Maze right now. He's a new organ player with Maze. But he actually wrote and produced a lot of stuff. Yeah, yeah. Danny's playing. He's playing with the band now. But Daniel put out a record. And he's got a couple of contemporary jazz records, and we were doing a show together. And we were sharing the kit. So, mind you, Greg is left-handed. And, you know, if you know, as a drummer, most left-handed guys, they either just learn how to play the drum set the way it was set up traditionally. You just figured out, you know, how to position stuff the way it works. Traditional kit. Well, Greg plays everything switched the other way around. So, yeah. Oh man, listen. So, you know, so we opened up, and they came after. You know, they came after us. So he's like, man, you don't mind if I switch all this stuff? You know. I was like, man, go and do what you got to do. You know, no big deal. I knew he could play. I've heard him play before. Man, he switched my kit around, moved them drums everywhere. He had, you know, everything around to where it was completely opposite out, and he made them drums sound like it was a whole nother kit. So, and I'm sitting front row, like listening to my drums with somebody else playing on them, and I'm just like losing my mind. Like, man, this dude just took my kit, changed it all around, and played it better than me. And it wasn't nothing I could do about it. You know, you can't do nothing but clap and ooh and ah, man, and just sit back and like, man, it is what it is. You know, this dude is, he's just a monster player, and yeah, he's got to support. So I took it, man. I took it like I was in a fight. I just, man, I was like, you the best man. So, you know, but like I said, I had the utmost respect for him because I know I was already a fan of his. Like I said, he's a young cat. He's touring with, he just actually did a tour with Letticy. Just recently, just finished a tour, but he was playing with Letticy, and he also does a SWV. But he's a killing, he's just a killing drummer, man. And like I said, he took my kid and was like, "I'm gonna show you how to play it, play it this way." So, yeah, it's happened before, so I just take it in. So,
man. Back in the day, there used to be a band when I was in high school. This guy really helped me because I was like the sophomore and the senior. You know, I didn't know. I'm just trying to get in the band. We learning Catching the Sun and Mr. Magic, you know, all this stuff, man. Children of Sanchez. And he would look at me and just pinch his nose like, that's horrible. And I would be intimidated by it and, you know, man, I'm just not as good as him. But I wasn't studying. So, you know, later on that year, toward the end of the year almost, you know, of course, the time, I'm giving my age out, the time had 777 and, you know, yeah, Steve Harrington had, you know, Nobody Can Be You But You and Reach At The Knees. And this band was doing a concert at my school, and the drummer, he couldn't do 7-7, but he was as close as I could find somebody that could get there. But everything else, he was smoking, and I just got up on him, for that day because he came to do a sound check for that night, and I just stuck to him like glue and watched him work. And I was able to overcome this other dude that was sitting there pinching his nose, and he carried me all the way through high school. So when I ended up going to Nelly Cole and all that, she gave me a nickname, Bam Bam, because I kind of brought some of that church in there. It was a little loud, you know what I'm saying? Putting in fuel where they don't need to go. And she turned around and went, can you calm down, Bam Bam? Just a little bit. And embarrassed me real, real bad. You know, I'm just man. You know,
right.
Just humble me. But when I came back to Houston and started playing with this other band, I got juice now, man. It didn't get out that, you know, so I got some juice. Well, we was doing this gig at the Astor Village Hotel, and I'm doing sound check. They got my, man, they done mic'd me down perfect. So the sound check was like, Bam Bam, man, you sound so good. And the bass player was like, Bam Bam, whatever you want to do tonight, just do it. Man, that kid sounds so good. And I was playing the Tama Swing stuff, still a couple of replicas. All right, so here come this little three-piece group, two keys and a drummer, and this little skinny kid. I play for them. And, I got him, let him get on. Man, I didn't want that kid back, dude. I still got it, but I mainly just kind of look at it every now and then. I didn't want him back, and that dude was Chris Dave. He was 16.
Wow.
My band leader walked by and whispered in my ear, Bam Bam, you better sell it, because he done took it.
Who was he playing with? You remember?
He played with my cousin, Stephanie York. She had a little trio called Stephanie York. Was it Stephanie York Company or something like that? And Stephanie and George and Chris. And, man, I remember he did a lick, man, and George turned around and was like, boy? You know? Like, this kid was like 16. So then he going to tell me. I said, man, you was incredible. Now I need to get with you. Boy, don't sit up here and lie.
Right.
I could buy you lunch.
You ain't got to lie, Craig. You ain't got to lie.
Yeah, I can't do nothing but buy you something to eat, dude. Teach you.
Oh,
nothing.
Man. Yeah.
But yeah,
wow.
But those are the moments that really make you sit down and say, man, I got to dedicate at least an hour and a half to 2 hours on this kid, man, you know, and it can't be everything that I like. It's got to be everything that can get me work. And you'll learn to love it once you learn to play it. A lot of times you get frustrated because that little intricate thing, you missing it. But that's when practice makes perfect for any instrument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my cousin would come over. And I don't know if you know why, but he would come over and just be sitting there looking. And I'm like, let's go. And, man, we would just go. I kind of miss that now. But that's what prepares you to take for that phone to ring. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you play with
people
that play such a wide variety anyway. You know? Like, the Apple Gang, they play a wide variety of music. You know, you see him, bam, get it. You know, playing with Mark. You know, he does a lot of Matheny. So you got to know it. You know, yeah. So that, who's your favorite artist that you really just tune into and just, you know, when it ain't a good day or whatever, that's who you can turn on, listen to the music and everything just kind of fall into place.
Man, I would say as far as when it comes to just overall music, I would say between Donny Hathaway and Marvin Gaye. Donny is one of my favorites.
You like listening to my father-in-law, man. You know, that's my father-in-law.
Well, you got the most affiliations.
But Donnie, I'm married to his daughter now, so, you know.
Man, yeah, you need to sit down somewhere.
Well, you need to tell her that.
I would tell her. Yeah, I actually played with Layla a couple of times, so, yeah, I would.
Hey, man, I didn't ask you that, though, man.
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw that out there, you know. But, yeah, Donnie is my favorite. Like, when I do shows, when I do my own shows, I always try to sing at least one or two of his songs in my show. And then there's one album I can put on from top to bottom, and that's Marvin Gaye's Live in Montreux album. I think that was 87 or something like that.
Yeah.
And that one, man, from top to bottom with the full horn section and all the way to the – that's probably one of the best albums I think. That's one of my favorites. So, those two are the top for me. And then when it comes to just music or instrumental stuff, it could be anything. It could be whatever mood I'm in at the time. So,
yeah. I remember my brother was picking me up from the airport, and he had this Lincoln Town car that had this premium sound system in it, and he was playing. He's always been in the jazz, so like, you know, one of his buddies really got him deep into it. This dude had a car with back in the day when you put, you know, 4, 5, 6x9s and, you know, Pioneer amps and all this stuff, and you pretty much listen to some hip hop or whatever, you know, some rap back in the day. And I heard this chilling bass line and this horn, and I'm like, "Hey man, who is that?" And he's like, "Man, I don't know." So he called his buddy, "Man, who are you playing?" He's like, "Oh, that's David Sanborn, Backstreet." So I ran out and bought the album immediately. And I'm this Backstreet, you know, and I start buying the other albums. But one of my boys had given him a CD, it was a cassette back then. So when he picked me up from the airport, I'm like, "Man, what is this?" And it was actually floppy disk. And I was listening to Kyle Smile. Man, I can still listen to that song today. And it'll kind of...
Wow.
Had me feeling some kind of way, you know, when to get my mood straight or whatever. And it's crazy because the guy that used to come to all your shows, I saw him at every last one of the tribute shows, a dude named Pop. I don't even know if you know him. But he always at the shows and feeling days, whatever. Me and this dude, he was working at a jewelry store back then. This dude got into this serious argument because he was telling me that Kenny G was the best saxophone player.
Oh, no. Nah.
And I'm sitting there looking at this dude like, you might know the difference between a Cuban zirconia and a diamond or a pear shape or more. You don't know a damn thing about no music. If you saying, you know, I'm like, dude, you... I could just go local and say, "Hey, Kirk or Everett," you know, not saying I'm going to get David, you know. And we had this serious argument about that. I'm quite sure he wouldn't say that now. But I said all that to say it's crazy that dude, who I won't listen to any of his studio work, but that one live CD that he did, if I listen to that live version, the song where I can calm down.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty much, it's the band in general. You know?
Yeah,
band.
You know, the live element is always going to make most of the music sound better anyway. So, That definitely changes it.
Yeah. So. Or gratitude, you know, gratitude is the same thing.
Yeah.
Man, dude, I've had so much fun. I hate that we got a late start and then the the tech, you know, difficulties or whatever. But you got anything coming up where the people can come out and hear about it?
Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't have anything yet. I am working on some stuff, though. I'm working on some shows. Best way to keep in touch is to follow me on Instagram. It's Pat Williams on drums, or my Facebook page is the Pat Williams Group. I'm always posting upcoming events and things I got happening there. I'm going to definitely be putting out some more content, and I'm working on some live stuff probably the beginning of the year. Gonna let the holidays go by a little bit before I start doing some more shows. But yeah, that's what I got. Just the best way to do it is just to follow me social media. Then you can stream, you can pick up and download Inclusive, the EP. You got to put in Pat Williams Inclusive on iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, whatever, YouTube. It's all out there. So you can download and stream it from there.
Y'all hear that? I see, you know, my listeners, I don't know why, man, people be scared to just call and say something. Donna Franklin said give you a shout-out, too. Scared to just say something, man. Y'all can, all y'all got to do is eat that hand and y'all can say hi to Pat, congratulations, whatever. Y'all little chickens. I love y'all, but, you know, y'all here, y'all can say something, man. Sometimes that might be that little extra, you know, he might sit down and write a song tonight because you said, I like your work or whatever, but I appreciate y'all, you know, being here. You just do that, man. It ain't just you. That's everybody. They do that a lot of time. I didn't want to say nothing. No, say something. They be putting in all this work for you.
Yeah, we just setting it up. So, you know, that means
so
we just got to do it
Bob
again.
James. You did Bob James, you work with Bobby Lott. Name a couple more that you work with. I want y'all to know who this dude is, because, see, I know him personally, so, you know, I get a little juice out this, too.
Yeah, you know.
So tell him, man, who you work with.
Man, so I've worked in capacity with, you know, we can mention Kyle Turner for sure. I work with Joe Sample. I play with Eric Darius, with Alex Bunyon, Marion Meadows. I've done a couple shows with Regina Bell, Althea Renee. Man, you know, geez, I'm trying to just think. That's enough. Mike Phillips, you know, I did a couple shows with Tony Terry, Eric Darius. You know, I don't know if I mentioned him, Warren Hill. So man, I just been blessed to just keep working and working with good people.
Yeah, I remember when I was in Vegas. This dude was going crazy.
Warren?
That was Mike. No, Eric Darius was playing Vegas, and man, this guy named Mike. I can't remember his last name. He was like just straight up, you know, hillbilly twang. Yeah. He gets some time off. He go, here's Eric Darius. Oh my God, he's incredible. And I was like, calm down, dude. Just calm down. You know.
Yeah, no, Eric.
You know, you don't get no nights off, man. Monday might be your night off. You know, in Vegas, to you know get out. That's and if you do get out on a Monday, you pretty much want to go watch you know Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns. You know,
oh yeah,
them dudes legit, man. So on my Monday nights when I was there, I would, you know, be kind of torn because I like to go see as a cat that used to chill at Caesars. He passed away a couple years ago, a guy named Jalee Gallap. And man, now put him and Bobby Lyle in a room together, man, you'd probably faint, dude.
Wow.
He probably faint,
okay.
You know, cause this dude, you know, watching Bobby, how he's just staring at the piano and doing his thing, you know.
Right.
The lead would be kind of doing the same thing, but he might look over there and look at you and go, I see you. What's up, Pat? And he's like, how is he doing all this? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. He's chilling. And, yes, It's a lot of serious talent in that city, you know. The problem with that, if you want to be open, it's hard to be open because, you know, it's a cover town. So bringing your own music, no, it ain't going to work, you know. But once once you establish as your own, that's a different story, you know. But I've had a chance to meet some awesome musicians like that. Now, everybody you know, go to YouTube, Apple Music, Amazon, do all that, and get this project out. You know, support.
Yeah, get it.
And, you know, that way when you see him getting his Grammy, you know, you say you had a hand in that. You know?
Right.
Don't wait till he get the Grammy, then going to try to get the music. No, do it early. You know, be proactive.
Yeah, and that's how it happens. It's more so, you know, the support and the buzz leading up to that is what kind of makes the Grammy and the Academy notice what I got going on, or any artist for that matter. You know, I'm an independent artist. I'm not signed to a label, to a record label with a big engine where, you know, I got millions of dollars in support and advertising, all that kind of stuff. You know, I've been doing it through my distribution company. And so, you know, yeah, any and every little stream, every download, all that stuff matters, you know. So just get the album inclusive and just let it play over and over and over again.
But you have control. You have control to say, yeah, if you had the machine behind you, you could pump out a million, you know, units. But look at what comes with putting out that million units. Yeah, everybody know who Pat Williams is, but at the end of the day, how much does Pat Williams benefit from that as opposed to Pat got control of what he's doing?
Right.
And whatever Pat does, Pat reaps the benefit.
That's the truth. So yeah, man. So it's been, you know, it's been good. Like I said, but I appreciate everybody that's been supported so far, and everybody that's listening, all the new listeners and followers. Make sure you just hit me up on Instagram and let me know you either heard the show or you got the album, one or the other. And you know, I'm gonna make sure I respond and comment and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I want to thank you for allowing me to have a chat with you. I'm going to talk to Ezra.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to continue to be a fan and a listener. And, you know, we speak it into existence. You know, the best is yet to come, you know, from Pat Williams. And this project will be rewarded as well. So, man, and tell my cuz, I said, what's up?
I will.
Yeah,
it's funny. She out at a rehearsal now. She's doing a play. So she's acting, you know, acting thing going on. Yeah, so we're working over here, brother.
That's the way to make it happen. One thing before I let you go, I ask musicians this that come on the show. Because I said one time when I had this show back in 2009, 2010, you know, my segment was the number one show in that slot, and it carried on even bigger before I let it go. And I said, bringing my show back after dealing with everything I dealt with, I'm like, man, I'm still here for a reason. Let me do this again, but do it a different way. And I kind of had a little panic in me because Arsenio Hall had a great show. Then he came back and not so great. But even though his show was great the first time, my number one gripe was, your band sucked. When he came back, I'm like, your band sucked again, bro. Why you can't put a band together? So I've asked other musicians this. When you look at a late night band on TV, who would be your number one band that you seen on late night TV?
Oh, man, that's hard because I don't even watch late night TV like that. So
yeah.
I couldn't even tell you. Only band I know,
you know
of right now is I like The Roots. I mean, The Roots is going to be, as far as I know, they're going to be. I know John, what is it? John Baptiste is on one of the shows, the late show. But The Roots is on Fallon. But man, I don't even watch enough. I don't be up late at night watching TV no more.
Let's say back in the day then, because like you say, man, it's a different thing, man, and different late night. But the foundation before we had YouTube and all that stuff, the foundation, you know, of a late night show to me was the band. And yeah, Arsene Hall's band sucked, you know. I don't know, man, they mustn't have auditions or something, but I would say my number one band on a show that stayed active would be Paul Schaefer, you know, with Letterman. That was another band. Show didn't last that long, but Byron Allen had a late night talk show at one time back in the day.
Oh,
and man, he had Patrice Rushen was the MD, Freddie Washington on bass, Paul. Now I'm losing my. You know what I'm talking about? Played with Kirk all the time. Paul Jackson Jr.
Paul Jackson Jr.
This band was. You know, Ricky Lawson on drums. Come on, man. So it was at a late night spot on Saturdays. And now, you know, I was wearing out the VCR because, you know, I'm giddy.
You weren't at the house. Right.
Yeah. Bad slot, all that. And Magic, you know, she leads with a nice band together. You know, and Magic had his late night show. But, you know, look at ratings and all that. It'll be, you know, I would say Paul Schaefer. You know, Johnny Carson had I loved them all, man, as a kid because I was into all that, you know. And we left out one drummer. I know me and you both, I guess we'll say honorable mention because you can't be a drummer without, you know, giving mad respect to Buddy Rich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure.
I always ask musicians about that. Now, last question. Where do you see Pat Williams in the next 2 years?
Next 2 years, man. You know, I ain't even thought that far yet, to be honest with you. I mean, and the reason I say that is because I've really spent so much time getting to where I am now, and really trying to determine who Pat Williams is as an artist. That's new. It's brand new right now. You know, even though I've been playing drums forever and I've had the experiences I've had with other musicians, you know, artists and playing as a side man, for me now as an artist, it's a totally different, you know, viewpoint, and it's a total different goal and a mindset. So, you know, my first goal, you know, was to finish and complete a project and put it out, which is what I just did October 23rd, you know, 22nd. So, you know, for me now to continue to establish who I am as an artist, not just a drummer, you know, I'm definitely still going to be playing drums and still doing my, you know, some cover gigs or whatever stuff I want to do. But more so establishing Pat Williams and the Pat Williams group, you know, my band as artists. And then, you know, continue from this point on, you know, to putting out some more music. And writing and creating, you know, in the next couple of years, you know, if it pans out, we'll shoot next year, hopefully. You know, if we get some Grammys or we work on some sync licensing or some commercials, and I just want to just get the Pat Williams name out there as a brand and as an artist. So I guess I can say that in the next 2 years. That's really what I want to establish the most.
Yeah, and I put you on the spot, but I said that because I needed you to speak that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And speak that into existence, because I want to see it happen for you as well, especially that Grammy, dude. You know.
Well, I definitely been speaking that, you know, and I appreciate you pushing that too, because you know, like you said, you got to talk about it, you got to speak it if that's. You know, that's what you want, then you got to speak it.
Yeah, my boy Raymond, Charlotte, and Regina, they all showing you love. They said, you know, continue to do great work. They listening. So I appreciate y'all. They sending you some great, you know, some great vibe, man. That's a good thing. But
yeah, I appreciate y'all.
Man. I've been holding you long enough, and I appreciate you. Everybody get to go back and listen, you know, as much as they want, man. You know, get on board while we ride. Thanks a lot, Pat.
Right.
Y'all catch me tomorrow night. I had the Fools with me, and, you know, we'll be doing musicians again next Tuesday. Pat, appreciate you so much, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Ezra, for having me, man. I had a good time talking to you. You know, we always chop it up anyway, so this was nothing out of the norm.
Exactly.
So have a good night, man. Be careful.
Know, got it and dealt with it and let everybody hear. Appreciate you, man.
Right.
Y'all take care.
Yeah.
Live, love, and laugh. We'll see you next time. Yeah.
Thanks.